Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Today, I'm thinking about the question, when are we old? Now, that question was posed by former President Jimmy Carter in his book, The Virtues of Aging. Now, Mr. Carter is old. He's 93, but he wrote this book when he was about 73, looking back on the challenges he and Rosalynn faced when he was voted out of office at just 56 years of age. And at that point, he was standing on somewhat shaky ground. I mean, politically, he was weak. Finances were not looking very good. Their youngest child, Amy, was moving out of the house, so he and Rosalynn were becoming empty nesters. Neither he nor his wife had advanced degrees, and it didn't look very good. But now, 40 years later, no matter how you feel about President Carter's politics, there's no denying that perhaps his best days were ahead of him. But I digress. The question is, when are we old? Let me read you what President Carter writes. So then, when are we old? The correct answer is that each of us is old when we think we are, when we accept an attitude of dormancy, dependence on others, a substantial limitation on our physical and mental activity, and restrictions on the number of other people with whom we interact. As I know from experience, this is not tied very closely to how many years we've lived. Now, two things catch my attention in that paragraph. One is this. Mr. Carter puts the focus not on how we look, but on how we think. And in our day and age, it seems to be that the former, how we look, is what most people are concerned about. Carter, it wasn't that way. It's how are we thinking? And in particular, with respect to our thought, he picks up on this idea of dormancy. So when are we old? He writes, we're old, quote, when we accept an attitude of dormancy, which means we stop activity, we become sluggish, we slow down. And as Carter notes, this isn't something that's a necessary correlation with the number of years someone has lived. Someone can slow down in their 40s, in their 30s, even in their 20s. But in the book, what he does is he highlights a number of elderly people who've not slowed down. Quite the contrary, these people have stepped up their game. Let me share with you two of them. The first one is a Japanese philanthropist whose name is Ryoki Sasakawa. He writes about him. He said, one of the people who've helped change my life's work was a Japanese philanthropist named Ryoki Sasakawa. He was a fighter pilot during World War II and was imprisoned for 3 years after the Japanese surrendered, but never charged or put on trial. He devised in his prison cell a plan to help his country recover from its devastating defeat, and when finally released, he put it into effect. He built a number of lakes around the nation and hundreds of identical speedboats so that races could be staged and people could bet on the outcome. And although the idea was at first controversial, all the betting profit went into a foundation that rebuilt Japan's shipbuilding industry. Later, with great personal influence over hundreds of millions of dollars, Mr. Sasakawa began dozens of humanitarian projects around the globe. And then he writes this. In 1981, he came to my home in Plains. His first remark was, I never dreamed that a president of the United States would live in such a modest place, because Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter live in the same house today that they built in 1961. His second comment, writes Carter, was more welcome. I hear you're establishing a center to do good things for peace and human rights, and I want to give you $500,000 to help with the project. That started a beautiful partnership. And then he writes this. In 1985, when Ryoki Sasakawa was 86, together we commenced a program to teach small-scale farmers in Africa how to increase dramatically their production of basic food grains, including corn, rice, wheat, sorghum, and millet. Now, think about this. Here's this guy at 86 who was still going strong, and actually he lived to 95. Now, the beauty of this book is that Carter doesn't take simply high-level people with big-dollar incomes. He also highlights someone like Uncle Buddy for his refusal to slow down. He writes this: "One subtle measurement of life's quality is the degree of interest we have in things outside ourselves. My mother constantly explored every aspect of life, and so did my father's brother, whom we called Uncle Buddy. He ran a country store in Plains and was one of the largest mule traders in Georgia. When I would come home on leave from the Navy, most members of my family would make a few perfunctory inquiries about life on a submarine. But my uncle would ask questions for a couple of hours. How many men were on board? Did each have his own bunk? Did they have three meals a day? How big was the kitchen? What happened if someone had claustrophobia? Could the officers punish the men? Where did they get fresh water? How did we know where we were? Could we see or hear whales? Why did we need submarines? How did we hope to win a battle?" At the age of 90, he was still like this with almost everyone who came into his store, always adding new dimensions to his own life and making his visitors feel important. Do you remember Carter's question? When are we old? Well, we're old when we become dormant, when we cease activity. But if you flip that around, part of the secret of aging well is staying active, staying inquisitive, continually engaging with this incredible world and the people in it whom God has given us. The psalmist said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." And a part of applying our hearts to wisdom is taking to heart the words of President Carter: stay active, be inquisitive, refuse to become dormant. Near the end of his book, Carter shares the slogan of sumo wrestlers who say, "To be great is to be equal to the task." Well, aging is a task everyone must face. The question is, will you and I be equal to the task? A lot of that depends on whether we're going to be dormant or out there doing. And as I wrap this up, I can't help but think of an article I read years and years and years ago in a book by Ted Engstrom called Motivation to Last a Lifetime. In it, he shares a piece that he had read several years before. It's called Advice to a Bored Young Man. Died age 20, buried age 60. The sad epitaph of too many Americans. Mummification sets in on too many young men at an age when they should be ripping the world wide open. For example, many people reading this page are doing so with the aid of bifocals. Inventor? Benjamin Franklin, age 79. The presses that printed this page were powered by electricity. One of the first harnessers? Benjamin Franklin, age 40. Some reading this on the campus of one of the Ivy League universities. Founder? Benjamin Franklin, age 45. Others in a library. Who founded the first library in America? Franklin, age 25. Some got their copy through the U.S. mail. Its father? Benjamin Franklin, age 31. Now, think fire. Who started the first fire department, invented the lightning rod, designed a heating stove still in use today? Benjamin Franklin, ages 31, 43, 36. Wit, conversationalist, economist, philosopher, diplomat, favorite of the capitals of Europe, journalist, printer, publisher, linguist. He spoke and wrote five languages. Advocate of paratroopers, from balloons, a century before the airplane was invented. All of this until age 84, and he had exactly 2 years of formal schooling. It's a good bet that you and I already have more sheer knowledge than Franklin ever had when he was your age. Perhaps you think there's no use trying of thinking anything new, that everything's been done. Wrong. The simple agrarian America of Franklin's day didn't begin to need the answers we need today. So go do something about it. Tear out this page or print it off and read it on your 84th birthday. Ask yourself what took over in your life, indolence or ingenuity? Or, to use the words of President Carter, have you become dormant? Or are you getting out there and doing something? Hey, we're all going to age, but we don't have to grow old. That's my thought on my walk with Jimmy Carter and the virtues of aging. Now, what you do with it is for you to work out on your walk through life. And as I wrap up this edition of On My Walk, let me encourage you to stop over at onmywalk.com and read the full review of President Carter's book, The Virtues of Aging. It's an exceptionally good read and great words for any of us at any age in order to make the most of these days God has given us.